To the Wine Vault. It's Rob the Wine Guy, who's being joined tonight by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Hello, folks.
We also have in attendance the Triple B.
Good evening.
Ladies, I hate to inform you, but the superstar is currently on, what would we call it?
He's injured reserve. Injured reserve.
We can't
divulge, you know, privacy concerns.
I'm not a doctor.
Or he's just a social worker.
He's a shell of a man. Let's just say that. Yeah, he's weak.
Well,
he is.
At least it doesn't involve a jail sentence this time.
That's true.
You know, yeah. Look at the bright side of things.
That's a good thing. So, tonight, folks, we are tasting a very interesting wine. And it's something that we've not covered often here on the Wine Vault. Pretty much we did one, and it was the same damn wine twice. Two different vintages. Did we taste at the others? Have we? That's pretty poor.
Erase that from my mind.
It's a fairly popular grape, and we need to remedy that. But tonight we are drinking Duckhorn Vineyards Decoy Pinot Noir from 2014. That's right, folks. Pinot Noir. Now, we really haven't drank Pinot Noir recently because I broke those two glasses and I've been too sick to really worry about it. But I rectified that, folks.
Well, and also you missed the whole Pinot Noir. Yes. Trend thing based on the movie Sideways.
I reject that.
Well, how can you reject something that you didn't even participate in?
I just rejected it. It's that easy. I said, I reject it.
Well, you just never saw the movie.
And I reject that too. I reject the having not seen it. I reject everything.
You're just uncultured.
I'm uncultured. Yeah, I haven't seen a shitty movie.
I was going to go with you're just a reject.
I'll get that in there.
See,
I was going to go with you're just a reject.
Well, you would have done that, but you have to speak into the microphone to do that. I know it's hard to be on your phone.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like being with a teenager.
He's got a thing, doesn't he, tonight?
It's like a teenager and a greeter at Walmart. That's what it feels like I'm being, you know, dealt with here.
Folks. Although we should have known it when he pulled out the switchblade.
Uh-huh. Once again, I did, folks. I am armed and ready, and we're going to make some art tonight on the Wine Vault. So...
The Pinot Noir. So we're...
What?
2014.
Yeah.
You want me to read the back of the bottle?
Duckhorn Vineyards.
Yes.
Decoy Pinot Noir.
They know that. Are you going to read it?
The Everyday Wine for the Well-Informed. Decoy by Duckhorn Wine Company.
I'm sorry, Scott. You don't...
That's all they even put.
They don't play.
They don't even need to say anymore.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and neither do we in this segment, because when we come back, we are going to... Get into the decoy. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed Taxi Driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. We are tasting tonight the 2014 Decoy Pinot Noir by Duckhorn Vineyards. It's from Sonoma County, which can mean many things. Hopefully it means Russian River. That would be exciting.
What's the price point on this?
$20.
$20.
And you can buy it everywhere.
Post off price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that puts it in a reasonable price range. I think we would
for Pinots.
High value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Pinot. Yeah.
And they also serve it at a lot of restaurants too, right? Duckhorn in general is a...
Well, different versions of a decoy for sure.
A decoy.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Decoy is technically their value line.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't have anything cheaper than this.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Duckhorn is a little bit more expensive. I don't think Duckhorn does a Pinot, do they?
I'd have to look at that. Charlie!
Shut up, Charlie. Asshole. Anyway, so, in the glass. Oh. It looks like a Pinot is supposed to look like. Garnet hue. Actually, a Pinot is going to be a little bit translucent, but it's beautiful in its translucence. Mm-hmm. It's very clear. And it just, it has that intense middle that just kind of filters out. It's beautiful, really. It doesn't particularly have that much of a watery edge.
Oh, mine is. Mine's super watery.
No, that's just the translucence.
Okay.
Yeah.
It almost has the coloring to me of a port. Like a tawny port where it has like the...
Well, a little bit of the faded hue to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a watery edge. I just think
that's where it's translucent?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Beautiful in the glass. The really legs pretty. Are just...
Mm-hmm.
It also is really exciting to drink out of Pinot glasses. They're really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
But what kind of Pinot glasses are these?
Oh, look at you mixing it up on
us
tonight.
I had a terrible mistake where I dropped two Riedel Venom glasses from Pinot. And I haven't had the heart to buy more because they're very expensive. So occasionally, if you go to TJ Maxx, you'll find some deals. And a lesser brand from Riedel is Stolze, what is it?
Schweizel,
yes. Schweizel, and it's German, not Austrian, and they make good glassware.
It's beautiful.
These are regularly $40 for four. I got them for $15.
Really?
Yes, and they're good replacements for wine vault heavy duty use.
Yeah.
So, yes. So that's what we're drinking out of tonight. We're not drinking out of Riedel. We're sorry, Riedel, but we can't afford you.
Yeah, if they want to send you new glasses.
Well, I so rarely drink out of. We
don't drink a lot of Pinot.
And the Pinot glasses for Riedel are so beautiful, but they're so fragile.
Yeah. Something that I think is interesting about Pinot is a lot of people's first introduction to red wine is Pinot.
Yeah.
And
it is an unusual red.
Yeah.
It's an oddball.
And they're also, when you say you don't, I mean, I don't love Pinot. And when you say that, people almost take that as like sacrilegious.
Well, Pinot should be more earthy.
Oh, this is.
And on the nose, a forest nose. Ugh. That's what I read, actually. I believe it was a tasting panel, maybe a wine enthusiast, said, and this, oh, by the way, folks, this wine has straight 90s across the board, 90 from the enthusiast, 90 from tasting panel, and a Wilfred Wong from wine.com gave it a 90. So, I mean, they gave it a 90, wouldn't you say? A 90?
It sounds like there's some consistent scores out there in the industry reviewers. And something you've referred to on some of the other podcasts is the Pinot funkiness.
Yes, the mushroom, the wet earth, that kind of funk. That's what it should have. It should have some raspberry and some funk, maybe a little strawberry in there, too. The wine that doesn't show that is Malomi. Malomi doesn't show much
Naomi.
Of that. Whatever it is, who cares? Anyway,
we were at a.
Blend that with so
go,
many.
No, go ahead.
Really quick side note: we were at a grocery store last night.
Oh god!
And they had Naomi, Kim Crawford,
and 19 Crimes.
And 19 Crimes all in a row.
Like on an end cap. I could knock over that big thing.
If Rob could have blamed ramming the grocery cart into that display,
I was like, "Where's the Chateau Souverain?" Oh, by the way, I saw a man at Meijer buy Chateau Souverain. He looked like a bit of a chotch, too, so I let him buy it. He's just standing like, oh, why is this 50% off? Wow, this is a deal. No, it's not. You're going to have a bad day.
We should have sang over
He also had a Magnum of Barefoot. Display. He had a Magnum of Barefoot, and he's like, Souverain. He's like, Souverain, cross shoppers. They're looking at, should I get a jug of Barefoot or one Souverain? I'll get them both. Mix them together.
Should have got, what is it called, Rossi?
Carlos Rossi?
Yeah.
It has a handle on it, at least. But back to the nose of this. It does have that earthy forest nose.
I think, back to Becky's point about Pinot Noir sometimes being the red that people try.
Yes.
It's an interesting thought because, some of those characteristics, that funkiness, the mushroom that Rob was talking about.
Aren't a lot the Pinots are drinking.
You probably not, but if they had those, they're probably not going to like that.
Right.
When you're getting down in the Monterey and some other areas south of San Fran, those Pinots, then you're going to get some of the spritzy strawberry shit that people drink.
Yeah.
That's the problem with that area. Sonoma, Russian River Valley, that's where it's properly done. I know some people swear by Santa Barbara Pinots and stuff like that, but I don't drink them.
I think there's a Stanford, strong argument.
Though, I think Stanford. Well, are they Sonoma? I'd have to look that up.
For some of the Washington and Oregon Pinots, yes. there's some good ones there. Well, not entry levels.
Alcove.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Willamette. There's a Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide in this if I smell like rocks or if that's a different smell.
Rocks? Any particular type of rock?
No, I just
pop rocks.
Deciduous rocks.
Like it almost.
I smell obsidian.
I smell obsidian. Deciduous. Is that pumice? Trees?
It just kind of smells like to me when you're
limestone.
I don't know.
Is it green? No. What were you getting at? Yeah.
Like the smell is like you're walking through a forest and you're like coming up on a stream or something. This sounds so crazy from a wine.
Just close my eyes.
But the rocks you would find by a stream. I feel like I can smell that in that. So I don't know what kind of rocks.
Is there a waterfall?
Yeah. No, it's just a gentle brook.
A gentle brook?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Is there a leprechaun in a cottage?
I'm giving you the middle finger over this podcast. But that's what I see.
I do understand what you mean. It does have a, what would you call it? I wouldn't call it exotic. I would call it Sherwood Forest type of nose. That would be how I would call it. It does have a Sherwood Forest.
Well, I think there's a certain.
Yes. There's the pine. There is mushroom. There's that wet earth.
But the wet earth, I think, is what. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob's talked about wet earth earlier, mm-hmm. just when he's describing Pinot.
Yeah.
And that's what, I think that's what you're getting there, that you're talking about.
So what we're that saying smell is it coming like upon a stream. Dirt.
No.
Well, but in, no. See, here's where you need to frame your own
Steve.
Mindset.
Yes. Unlearn what you
wet Let's earth. Keep it real. Well, mud. If it's wet earth, it would be mud. Like mud.
Well, but.
Yeah. Where's the Grenache? I'm going to break that out, teach you a lesson.
No, it is less off-putting to me than a Grenache, but you can smell a lot of earth in it.
So you're concerned of
flavor,
old world flavors.
Well, I don't think it's going to taste old world because it's California, so don't worry about that.
But I wonder if you're framing yourself to not like it.
I am.
So try to think of it as wet earth, as a positive, because it is something that's
I'll
be honest. Should smell. What I find though that is. There's nothing objectionable, but the pungent raspberry.
Did you get it up your nose?
No. Stopped short.
But the pungent raspberry, that burst, kind of detracts and it keeps away the subtle nuances of the earth and the mushroom and the forest floor that I do want to smell. I would prefer it if in a French Burgundy, obviously a Burgundy. That fruit nose that you smell, that's gone. It's just everything else. That's what I like.
That's what you want to smell.
Oh. So
I want it to taste like
in feet. I couldn't even smell the raspberry till you mentioned it. All I could smell was earth. But now that you say it, I can draw it out. But the smell of earth is so overwhelming to me.
I'm going to taste it. I'm excited. Well. Well, it's not the most Pinot-y mouthfeel. It's not the most. It has length.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as soft as I would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Medium-ish bodied.
Yeah. It's a proper Pinot body.
It actually has a chunky forward, that raspberry. What else is there? That raspberry is very, very strong in the front palate and really lingers. Actually, the front palate really does linger. That
really does.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of oak mixed in with that, too, I think.
Yeah.
Oak, and without oak's a little slightly minerally.
It's there. I can see that.
It's not that. And I don't... The mineral is kind of
the front palate is very, very grips.
Prominent.
Matter of fact, yeah.
It's not as old worldy as
This is like all the things I hate in wine. Minerally, oaky.
It's good. But if you really draw it in, this, when you said, I remember originally you said, what you were reading says, this needs to age for a little bit. I can see that. Because it has that, it does have a dense mid palate too, once you really draw air in.
Oh, yeah.
Very dense. It is a monster packed wine, really.
But it is
medium bodied, full medium bodied,
right? Yeah, it's medium bodied Pinot.
Full medium bodied, it's medium bodied.
Yeah, it's a proper bodied Pinot.
Are you tasting something sour at the end?
No. That is a bit of the oak. But it's not off putting.
I don't know if I can drink another drink
of it.
That's
fine. That's more for me.
Yeah.
I love it.
I have to say this.
I don't love it. Is, I like it a lot. I don't like it a lot. I like it.
To just, but it needs waffling, and you. It's, it, so, and how long did you decant this?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
Wow.
It needs. Yeah, that needs. I would say.
I want to
say 2 to 3 more years in the bottle will mellow that out. And make it really the Pinot that you want to see.
I want to say in the cellar tracker, the suggested age was 18 to 2020. So
yeah, absolutely.
That it's early.
I would buy another bottle of this just to sit back
and see what it does. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to lean out a little bit, and you're going to get probably a silkier mouthfeel.
Probably a little difference in the fruit.
Yeah, it's going to be a little more complex. Actually, it's going to it might actually lengthen out. And that front palate might mellow out. It's just going to mellow out. And that's really what you want. You want it to mellow out beautifully. Mm-hmm. That being said, it's not, I wouldn't necessarily say it's right now, it's not showing a Burgundian, it's not a Burgundian style. It's a Californian style. By that I mean, it's not a French style. It has like a tip your cap to the earthiness. But it's fruit forward all the way. It's fruit all the way. Boom, boom, boom. It's oak. Boom, boom, boom. There's even a little bit of tan in there. Boom, boom, boom. It's Cali. It's what it is. It's Cali.
Yeah.
With just a little, yes, Pinot's supposed to be this way. Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Good day.
And then and the fruit, along. It kind of dissipates and then it kind of bounces back on you.
Yeah, it does.
This is an entry-level Pinot Noir that is...
It's like Zen.
Complex. I don't know about tasting like Zen.
The front palate tastes like a Zen.
The front is very raspberry, Zen-ish-like.
Yeah. The front palate is similar to the Artisan. And it's up there. But that's what the front palate tastes like. Now, the Artisan then crescendoed in the mid-palate and had this big burst all the way through, and it was bright and, this isn't that. But now, we've had the Zinfandel on before, and we really liked it. We said it was cab-like. I remember that. We found it to be cab-like, and so perhaps not necessarily a typical... It was a different Zin style. And we gave it pretty much 88s, I think. You gave it an 89, maybe. Right. Steve and I gave it 88s. So far, you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if it's as good or not, because it's been so long with Dealey Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Similar style.
So, oh, on Valentine's Day, yeah.
No, Dealey Lane was the first episode we released.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was many moons ago.
What's the Pinot we had on Valentine's Day? Didn't we have a Pinot that night?
No.
No?
No, we didn't.
We did not?
We had Chateau Saint-Jean, Saint-Sapage.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't know what else we had. But we didn't.
But that's earthy, right?
What?
The one that you all had on Valentine's Day?
Well, it was old.
I was talking about when we went to dinner.
Oh, no. We had a Crianza. Oh, no, we had a Reserva. And we had Cam Blau.
That's what it was, Cam Blau.
Yeah. So, Monastrell and Tempranillo.
Yep.
Yeah. But, this is... But, yeah, I really do like the front palate and how it expands. And Triple B is loving it.
Yeah, just gave away my glass.
Shameful. you are going to be excluded from reviewing it.
I don't know what it is with my palate. When I get like that oak flavor, it is honestly undrinkable to me. Like it in my, when I taste the oak, it tastes sour, and like it almost, drinking this wine is like drinking like sour mash. That's what it tastes like to me. That's how strong that is to me.
Well, but I will say this. The oak is a little bit unusual. If it didn't have the oak, we might be getting a little more, might be able to pick up a little bit more on the earthiness.
Yeah, and I do get that same, and it, sour's maybe not the right word, but it's that related to the oak, and it's that little thing that you sometimes get with oaky things.
Yeah.
Sour maybe is the right word.
I can't even, I can't even drink it, and I hate that, because as soon as I taste it, I can't taste anything else but that.
Well, I've had plenty of wines.
Period. I've had plenty of wines.
No. I like a bed. That's I love drink. What is
it? By the way, they tried to go down this road, and somewhere just went off the rails to shit.
Oh, I could see that.
Pinots, particularly Pinots. They, you get those.
Yeah.
The entry level stuff.
No.
That, you know, and no disrespect to Mirasu and Mark West, but, you know, you
lots of disrespect.
Go back and go back, and they are what they are.
Yeah, and what they are.
They go down a road and
spritzy.
Jump off the track.
They have a lot of that big fruit, and then it just goes away to acidity and spritziness.
It's easy to, not easy, but I would imagine it's easier to do bold. When you're trying to be delicate, like a Pinot, that's difficult.
Well, it is.
When you're trying to be elegant, that's... Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I do prefer the Burgundian style, where you're featuring just the grape. It's not focused on the oak, but this is a more Cali style, where they're pumping it up, pumping it up, pumping it up. And that's why it says 2018 to 2020.
Do you think if this was aged, the oak would go away?
I think it would just... It would
mellow more?
The whole wine would just mellow a little bit, and perhaps lengthen out and be a little more Pinot-esque. But the fact that it has some ageability is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And it... I gotta believe that it would, that the oak would dissipate.
I don't know, though. Oak typically, you know, tannins fade, fruit will lean out. Oak, though, will it not? I don't know. But yeah, this is a wine you have to work heavily. That's something, maybe if you waffled a lot, you would see what we're seeing. You have to really work. You gotta work. Work. Try it again.
It, like, makes me want to throw up drinking it. It does not
make, don't be so dramatic. Lord.
Just drink another glass.
Come on, man. Do it. It's called peer pressure here on the wine vault.
But it really is. When you waffle it, it is the characteristics separate and are more digestible on the palate.
It's crazy how wine really changes from just, you know, pulling it in and then really working it. Well, folks, we are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with some more emails from listeners, folks. We'll be right back with some potpourri. We're back, folks. Tonight on the Potpourri, we have one of the most highly listened to segments, probably. Emails from listeners. The first one is from Joanna. Joanna, you don't hear the name Joanna very often anymore. Should bring it back. I'm going to start calling you Joanna.
Isn't there that song, Joanna, I Love You?
Joanna, I love you.
Oh, love you.
Something like that.
I bet she's never heard that
before.
We
were headed for the good harmony.
Heard it, I love you. It was that bass line. I don't know how it goes.
It was really pretty until you did that.
I know.
It's You're the One for Me. Why That's not? Where the bass line comes in.
Well, I think everybody wanted us to stop anyway. Joanna.
I'm sure she's never heard that either.
No.
Cliche.
Maybe she hasn't. I don't know.
I'm sure she never wants to hear it again.
No. Well, we cured her of it. If you ever were wondering what that felt like to have that sung to you, now you know you don't really want it. Actually, if someone did sing that to her, I'd be scared. That's a time to pull out the mace. Anyway, do you have pepper spray? Do it. The question actually is posted, and this is convenient, to the Triple B. I've heard before, this is the email. I've heard before on the show that you were training for a half marathon. How's that going for you, and how often, what does that take to do? Boy, I don't read very well, do I?
Thanks, Joanna.
I hope to do it someday myself.
Oh, cool. That's awesome, Joanna. I think you should definitely go for it. I'm really proud of you for wanting to get fit and for wanting to train. It's really difficult. You train for about 5 months to run. So I started running in December, like with a purpose. And I can't even tell you what that's like. So every Saturday you're getting up running 8 to 10 miles every weekend. So your entire week is built around your running schedule, and you just have to be very mindful of that. And then after you run, then the rest of your day spent recovering from running. Rob the wine guy was a really good husband and would make me breakfast almost every time. Yeah. No longer. He served me water out of a coffee mug, so
that's a travel mug.
But Rob would make breakfast for me a lot, and sometimes it would be ready like right when I walked in the door, which was awesome. I did join a running club, which I would really recommend. We did all of our long runs together, and then I ran with some girlfriends of mine in the morning, which made it be very social. I would never have done it without them. So my half marathon was this past weekend, and did you all give away your location?
Yeah, we're in Columbus.
We're in Central Ohio.
Okay, so I ran Cab City. Columbus. It's a half marathon. And I made it 8.5 miles, and they canceled the rest of the race because of weather. So it was like total monsoon, thunderstorm, lightning everywhere.
We had electrical storms this weekend while I was out driving. Like, I don't recall the last time I was in electrical storms like this.
We were running down High Street, and it felt like the thunder and lightning were, like, splitting the sky in half. Like, really, really scary. So they totally made the right decision. But like I said, I made it a little over 8.5 miles before they canceled it. And there were 14,000 people running the race, and they basically were just like, get on the sidewalk and go somewhere else. So that was difficult. So I'm pretty worn out mentally. I'm pretty worn out physically from it. And I didn't get the runner's high from finishing the race. So that might be a little bit of the...
Feel a little cheated?
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Where you were at when you finished, did you know you were going to finish? Did you get through the wall that sometimes runners get?
No, I was actually... I just hit it about 3 blocks before they canceled the rest of the race. So my sister and I were running. It's pouring the rain. And I said... We were right on pace. And I said, Rachel, I think that we need to slow down significantly. Like, I'm scared running right now.
Because, weather.
Yeah, weather-wise. And, like, the paint on the road was so slippery, you couldn't run. We were running in one lane, but you just had to be really careful. And I said, I think we need to slow down. My shoes were really heavy, and I just felt like we're, like, looking at a disaster. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I parked at the Hyatt on Capitol Square, and there was a tattoo convention. And I had to blend in. You know, naturally, I can. Luckily, I was wearing all black, and I was wearing kind of that tiger's hat I have. It's all fucked up.
So I think it worked out. And I said sup a lot. Sup. And, you know, I said, what's some other words I said? Fuck. I said that.
But that's not unusual.
No. Pretty much.
Rob got the best Americano.
Cafe Americano, which might have thrown it off. But I also went into the bathroom and I drew a little teardrop under my eye.
Just okay, one back, or a couple?
Just
back,
one.
Back to our...
I only murdered one person.
Back yeah. to our listener inquiry.
Yeah. So, Joanna, I would say I would totally encourage you to do it. It is a lot of work, and it's just... I can't explain how... Like, it's... You put your body through a lot, but you just think about it all the time. So the mental aspect of it, I just would really want to stress to you. Mm-hmm. So now that that race is finished, we have... about 2 months-ish, maybe 6 weeks off, until we would start training for like a fall season of running. And I'm still like kind of playing in my mind if that's something that I want to pursue or not, just because it was a lot.
Well, and so a little background, I mean, you've spent a couple years solid of really committing to physical fitness.
So I am...
That was me. I've done that.
Yeah, so
you committed to whose physical fitness?
My, don't I look fit?
I would say.
Ask me what I bench. I have no idea.
I would say this is the most physically active I've been in a really long time. Mm-hmm. I do Orange Theory Fitness, mm-hmm. which we would also love as a sponsor.
Doing curls right now, look, curls.
I've been doing that for over a year, and then I've done some 5Ks.
But not coming from a background where you were. An athlete.
Oh, no, I wasn't a high school athlete or anything like that. No.
So, I think something to be taken from this is if it's something you want to do, you can do mm-hmm. this, even sure. if you're not the most athletic. But, sure. you know, training's a big commitment.
Just believe in yourself.
No, and I think it's so, what I would say, Joanna, is go for it. I just want you to know that it is a major physical undertaking and it's a major mental undertaking.
And you had some friends of the podcast mm-hmm. that also were kind of in this with mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
So they were going to run also, and they did run also. Mm-hmm. And so you have someone you're kind of in
with. Oh, yeah. And every day we're like, how was your run? Mine was great. Mine was terrible. My knee hurts. I didn't eat enough carbs. I ate too many carbs. I mean, you have so much stuff going through your mind. I didn't drink enough water or... had too much wine last night, and my run was terrible.
Well, we got to move on.
Well, because we have another email.
Well,
we have two more, at least.
What?
Oh, wow.
The next one is from Ricky. And this is addressed to the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello.
But I think
something interesting is there's another song about... Oh, no, it's Mickey, not Ricky.
Well, there is Ricky.
I was
Ricky.
Thinking, Mickey, you're so fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Mickey, don't lose that number.
But it's a D.
There you go.
I don't think he wants this. Yeah. Scott, I'm a big fan of Zinfandel.
Oh.
What is your favorite region for Zin? And what is your favorite producer?
Well, that's a
person to ask that.
Yeah.
It's like asking Scott only how to take somebody's appendage out. But.
Favorite producer of Zin.
Oh, Turley.
But they don't say that.
Well, we're growing quite fond of... The Dry Creeks.
We are. The Dry Creek, yes, we are.
We really are growing fond of that.
We also like Baran, though.
Regions.
We like Zinfandel.
Yeah, there's some good ones out there. I mean, the ones we've done on the show, you know, the two Barans were wonderful producers. Mm-hmm. And they were just both, particularly for their price points and what they are, they were just freaking phenomenal. But... Mm-hmm. Oh, if you can get a hand on a Turley Zin, do so, my young man. Ricky, don't lose that number. Get on that email list, because you don't want to call nobody else but Turley.
The next email, then, is to me. It's from Ashley. And that could be Rick Ashley. Mm. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna move.
It could be from Ashley Furniture.
Well, it's not. It's from Ashley. A girl, okay. I assume.
Well.
Rob. Do years on wines really matter? How do I know?
How do you know, or how does Ashley know?
How does she know?
Well,
by the way, is your name Rob? It's not addressed to you, so shut up.
Oh.
Okay. Aww. Do years on the vintages.
He really is feeling his oats tonight.
As it would be. Actually, it depends on what you're buying. The lower, low-end stuff, it doesn't matter as much. You're going to have some variation, but normally they blend those wines to taste.
As you get up into more pricey regions, yes, it can. There can be differentiations between one vintage to the next. How do you know? Depends on what you're doing. One good way is to find a vintage chart, and all you do is just Google wine vintage chart, and you're going to find it. And each year for each varietal, each grape is going to have a score associated with it. So, for 2011. I don't even know what it is. I mean, I suppose if someone had an iPad in front of them, they could look that up. 2011 Cabernet, California Cabernet. It's going to say how good that vintage was. And often, how do we determine these things? You know, they're going to look at rainfall. They're going to look at the temperatures, all sorts of things. Was there a hailstorm? All sorts of crap.
Hailstorm?
Yeah. Scott, that damages grapes. Scott just sent me an article today about Bordeaux for 2017 has been devastated by a freeze. It absolutely just destroyed a lot of the grapes. Some of them, 90% of their stock is their vines are damaged. So, you know, when it comes time to rating that vintage in Bordeaux, you're going to find an off vintage right there. So there's a lot of different things that can factor in from year to year on the more expensive things. Did you find a vintage chart?
Yeah. So just using the Google,
yeah,
wine enthusiast pulled up the 2016 vintage chart. And, you know, first thing they show in the first tab is United States and the region they pop up. Oh, go figure. Cab Sauv. Yeah. Napa is the first region.
Sure.
And it's showing. And
they break it down by actual Napa, Sonoma, the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's showing that 14, 13, and 12 are all highly scored years.
Mm-hmm.
94, 95, 95.
And you probably, I think there's a way to find something of that nature on your cell phone on an app. So, Wine Spectator probably has an app. I know Wine Spectator has an app that you can do that with. Wine Enthusiast, I have their app. So, you can get an app that you can have on your phone when you're at the store. You just pop it up. Hey, how was this year? But quite frankly, normally you're going to, like right now, mostly it's 15 through 13, some 12s in the store. You have that knowledge. You go in, you know what's bad, what's good, to a certain degree. So, yes, vintages can matter depending on how much you spent. So, and then the last question is for Scott from Joshua.
Joshua.
Do you think Joshua, it's Joshua the new, from Josh Sellers?
Or is it Joshua, the new heavyweight world boxing champion of the world?
Vladimir. He should have retired. He's lost his last two bouts, by the way. He always had a glass jaw, though.
Watched,
the tally was better.
Watched the fight last night with the son. Shout out, Jay. I don't know. Klitschko had him on the ropes there for a little bit. It was impressive that Joshua recovered to pull that out. Mm-hmm. Devastating knockout, though. Mm-hmm. He should have been ruled out on the first knockout of the 11th, not the third. But anyhow, knocked down, rather.
Scott,
ooh.
I want to impress my girlfriend, and I want to cook her dinner.
Hello.
What's the easiest thing that I can cook? Well, and by the way, I have no skills whatsoever. I could burn water. Well, I just threw that in, but I'm assuming that's what he meant.
There's two ways to go here. Don't try to show off when you ain't got any skills.
Well, I don't think he's talking about showing off. He just wants to cook for his girlfriend and not make it suck.
Not suck.
Well, good.
Order in, man.
What's that?
Order in. The other thing you could do so that it could be an awesome experience is there's all these food services out there now, Blue Apron.
But he wants to cook
for it. Oh, that's a nice idea, though.
But hear me out here.
They can make it together.
And then you make it together.
Oh.
Make it a nice little experience.
Great idea.
Yeah.
You can do that. But a simple meal that is easy, you just go with a simple salad, nice bread, warm the bread, toast the bread, and then whatever easy peasy thing you're comfortable with, just basic red sauce and pasta. They make wonderful frozen raviolis.
Oh, true.
Go find an artisanal grocery. They generally have homemade sauces or sauces that are made there at the store, and just you heat it in a pan. But
Joshua, don't have when she comes over for your dinner be the first time you made it. practice before she gets there.
There you go. But I mean, there's a couple things there. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Just order in, you know, an upscale.
Do it.
Buy some nice dishware, nice plates, and serve it nice.
I believe you
try can touch the blue sky. Apron.
Now
cook it together, or go simple, straightforward salad. Toast some bread.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a nice grocer that makes their own sauces and buy a pre-made sauce, and then you just simply reheat it.
Crank up the broiler. Do some fillets. Do a little demi-glaze on this, some bitches. And then you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. I believe in you. Risotto. Do a little risotto.
I don't even think... I mean,
cook some shellfish, Josh. That'll go well.
I think if you made spaghetti and meatballs...
What's
your
Rockefeller?
If you had your mom talk you through a lasagna...
What if his mom doesn't love him? Could be. We don't know, Josh. We got to assume it's just Josh. Josh is on his own.
I would not try to do some kind of reduction sauce because I think that can go
wrong.
No one
says reduction sauce. We said a demi-glaze.
Okay, I think a demi-glaze can go south. Just think about
it. Lasagna is a lot of work.
But, I mean, if you could do some of those pre-made pieces and it would be good.
Yeah.
You know, try chicken. Sashimi chicken.
No. Josh, what I would recommend is maybe, like, you're good on the grill and you can make steaks. You could roast vegetables really easily. Right. Roasted red potatoes takes zero effort, and it's super good.
No one ever makes chicken sushi, though.
You're making me sick.
Chicken sushi, Josh.
But I do like Scott's idea about doing a Blue Apron, making dinner together.
That's true.
That's a really, really sweet idea.
That way, if it's bad, it's also on her.
Yeah, and then you can laugh about it and order Chinese.
There you go.
It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And it's reasonably cost, and there's some good services out there.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like your thing. So, and you could renew your subscription for anniversaries or whatever.
There you
go. Good luck.
Good luck, Joshua.
Good luck, Joshua.
And with that, folks.
And congratulations on your victory Saturday night.
Yes, we are going to be back and review the decoy. We'll be right back in the wine bowl. Folks, tonight we are going to review Duckhorn Vineyards 2014 Decoy Pinot Noir from Sonoma County.
Now, it's got 390s by the enthusiast, the tasting panel, and Wilford Wong,
whose parents have a sense of humor and love alliteration. Well, they do.
I think it's a great name.
Yeah,
for
you didn't have to name Wilford. Who the hell's named Wilford?
Mr. Wong.
Yes, but...
Brimley.
My God. Willy Wong. They should have said Willy Wong.
Oh,
it's not nice. Why couldn't they name him Brian? Or Joshua?
Cultured.
Or Samuel. Or
culture.
Daniel.
Your claims to culture.
You name him Daniel.
My brother.
You are older than me. Okay, so we're going to... Should we even ask the Triple B? Probably not.
I think feel like I need to sit out for this one.
Yes, Triple B has been eliminated from the reviewing section because she is prejudiced. And we do not believe in that. So, we're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver who has no prejudice. He is a man of equal temperament. Justice for all.
This is a really interesting Pinot.
Yes.
It has some Pinot characteristics, and there's other things where it's different.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, and I see what the ageability of this, that it's got some time.
Yeah.
And I think I appreciate that, and I think it adds to the value of this wine.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure I can go a 90. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of stuck between an 88 and an 89. Is it true enough to a Pinot to go up that high?
It might be in 2 years.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go 89, but a soft 89. very recommended by the Wine Vault.
It's either an 89 or it's an 89. I know I do soft too, but
you do it all the time.
When you do it, it's bullshit.
Somehow
I just did on the Klein episode.
Somehow when I...
Damn it, I hate being a hypocrite. Anyway.
Somehow when I give soft or hard scores or high scores,
it's normally soft.
But it's definitely recommended. I think you're going to be hard pressed to find entry level price Pinot that's going to kick this one's ass. I don't think you're going to.
No,
I really enjoy this. It's there's a level of complexity there that's interesting, even if it's got those zinny notes on the front side. Yeah. That's actually. Those un-Pinot characteristics are really what makes this really interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm big on the mouthfeel, and I enjoy the mouthfeel of this.
Yeah. And folks, on to me. The comp to this, there's two comps. There's Meiomi. Did I pronounce it correctly?
I think so.
Or is it Beiomi? Who knows? And then there's the Dilly Lane. Those are the two Pinots that we've tasted, which is, quite frankly, out of... What do we have, 45 episodes? That's ridiculous. We need to drink more Pinots because you out there drink Pinot. But we just don't want to. we don't.
We need to drink more Chards. We need to drink more Blancs.
We just need to drink.
More.
Yeah, so.
I got a bad.
I know.
Drink an hour ago.
The one complaint we had about the Dilly Lane was, it wasn't that Pinot-esque. It was very Cali. It had tannin. It had oak. It had all those things. So it wasn't necessarily the most Pinot-esque Pinot. No. But what it did have, and we gave that a 90. But it had a little bit better mouthfeel. It just a little bit better.
It was
a little
lacy, silky.
Yes.
Little.
The pillowy mouthfeel that you're looking for from the Pinot.
It had a little more that.
It's going to have it, but it doesn't.
It's not.
It doesn't have a bad mouthfeel. It just isn't quite as good as the Dilly Lane.
But you know, with the Dilly Lane, you know, maybe it had a year left in it.
True. True. So there.
Then you're like. Has something to it. So where are we at on this thing?
This might be more Pinot-esque than that, even though I wouldn't necessarily call it... If you were doing a blind taste, the best of us would peg this as a Pinot because of the finish. That's where you're going to notice it's a Pinot.
Yeah.
But it's going to trip up a lot of people. They're gonna mistake it for a Zin. Not much else, though. It doesn't... I mean, you're not going to think it's a Merlot or a Cab or a Syrah or anything like that. The only thing that it might sneak up and trip somebody up on is a Zinfandel. But the finish should tell you that it's a Pinot. It looks like a Pinot. Pretty much smells like a Pinot. Yep. It is a Pinot. But I am going to give it a 90. Partly because I think that it exhibits it's not quite the same as a Dilly Lane, but like you said, it has ageability.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of desirability, but if you gave it an 89 or anything, what I would say is I would give it an 88 to 90 because, once again, it's too young.
Yeah.
It's like a Robert Parker score. An 88 to a 90 is what I would give it. I wouldn't give it a 90 to a 92. I'd give it an 88 or an 89 to a 91. I'd give it an 88 to a 90.
And in no way is this anything other than drinkable.
Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do.
It's got a high drinkability.
Yes.
That
folks, I'm giving it an 88 to a 90, just like Robert Parker would give it.
I'm not letting you do that.
I just did it.
No, you
didn't. You would never let us.
No.
Ever.
We're vetoing you.
The other night, I tried to give something an 89 plus or something.
And we are harshly criticizing that. No, yeah. You're giving it a 90. You're sticking with it.
It's an 88 to a 90.
I almost want to take away Rob's ability to give it a grade and just go with Scott.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I think that it's best case scenario, after 2 years, it's a 90. Worst case, it's an 88.
But we're scoring it now.
I'll give it a 90. That's fine.
Oh my God, what is he trying to do? What did he do today?
It's recommended.
Did he fall and hit his head?
No, it's recommended.
I think it's Rex.
Well, that
Rex. Oh, shit. Rex is... upset.
Whenever I've seen that poo.
There's a little sickness in the Dern household, and it involves Rex the Wonder Dog.
But I would say that it's recommended. It's not Hall of Fame.
No.
But it's good.
And kudos Decoy.
Oh, but kudos Duckhorn. That's two wines we've had from them that are really good.
And again, entry level Pinot. Kudos.
Yeah.
Buy it.
Well, it's $20. I don't know. Most people out there would not say that.
But for Pinot, that's entry level for Pinot.
That is entry level.
So. You know, we've talked in other episodes. What's the price point you would expect to get some quality at a mm-hmm. price point?
Yeah,
$20 is what we said for Pinot. Actually, we said maybe a little more.
Mm-hmm. And the superstar enjoys Pinot, and he probably has said that he's not here tonight.
Yeah, I wonder what he would take on this.
Well, he would take on a blood test that would reveal some bad things about him. He's an unsavory person.
But he's sweet. We should be supportive.
When that comes back, I wonder when the results come back, if it comes back a number or just says, scandalous bastard. Because I think that's what it is. Sir, we don't know what to make of this. Your test came back and it said that you're a scandalous bastard. We don't know what that means.
Or it's like a voice text where it's just laughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if it just came back scandalous bastard.
Well,
that's what he is. He's a scandalous bastard. He's a little guy, but he's a scandalous bastard.
Or you get your results back and it's in the form of a voice text and it's just laughter in the background.
No.
It'd scandalous bastard.
Slightly some respect. Some disdain.
There's no respect in scandalous bastard.
There is a little bit. It's a life of debauchery. It's like Caligula. It's Steve. That's what he is. He's Caligula. So, with that, folks, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.